On this week's show, we've been talking about money and wealth. And one of the quickest ways to make a bunch of money is to inherit it. But as we've heard, often people don't make enough in their lifetime to leave money or real estate to their children or other relatives. And even in the cases where people do manage to secure a home or save up, actually handing that wealth down can be complicated. A lesson that Francisco Garcia Rodriguez learned the hard way.
My name is Francisco Garcia Rodriguez. I'm from Dominican Republic. I'm 57 years old.
57 years
old. I mean, sorry about
it. Young and hard.
Yeah, 57 years old.
I met Francisco at the City Bar Justice Center in Midtown Manhattan. He was going to meet up with a pro bono lawyer. But before, he filled me in on his life. When Francisco was born, his mother gave him away to his paternal grandmother. And so he never had a real relationship with his mom.
I don't have too much love for my mother. And he's a little, sometimes I get so emotional and start crying.
Growing up, he also didn't really know his father, who was in and out of his life. But when he turned 20, Francisco moved with his grandma to New York, where his dad was working in construction.
By 1980, I came here to New York. I was with my father. I started working construction with him. I was a little depressed and a lot of anxiety, you know, back in the day, by the 80s. I started hanging out with the wrong people, but I went to jail.
In his mid-20s, Francisco was arrested for selling drugs. 5 years later, he got clean and was released from jail. And despite all the changes throughout his life in New York, there were two things that Francisco could always count on. His grandmother and the affordable apartment where the three of them lived in Uptown Manhattan. It was a co-op, meaning an apartment where a board controls and owns the whole building. And this one was set up for low-income New Yorkers.
We bought it in 1984, I believe.
Francisco's father didn't think twice about what would happen to the apartment until he fell ill.
My father used to, have complications. He was in dialysis. But he was a person that whatever he say was the right.
Francisco's father had to stay in the hospital a lot because of his kidneys. And despite Francisco's frustrations with his upbringing, he would visit his father every day. During one of the handful of hospital visits, his father made him a promise.
That night, we was, talking, and he said, I'm going to put you in the apartment for the chokehold. I said, okay.
His dad was going to leave him the apartment, which was a relief to Francisco. But he didn't really think much of it because Francisco didn't think this would be his last visit to the hospital.
We expect that he going to get out from the hospital. Every morning, the nurse told me he, walk around, to see how his balance and all that. But that day, he walk in the entrance of his room, he collapsed. And then that was the day he died. And then that day I was very emotional, very confused.
Francisco started doing all the arrangements for the funeral, and then it hit him.
He don't put nobody in his will. He let all the money in the bank. Nobody can take it. He was a Jehovah's Witness. The whole Jehovah's Witness was more important than myself, because it was his son.
So Francisco got scared that he would lose the apartment he had lived in for over 20 years. But then he realized something.
The thing is, I always have folders with all my documents, and I have all the folders, my folders with all their documents.
He thought that maybe he could legally argue to the co-op board that the apartment was his. And so he reached out to the City Bar Justice Center, where I met him. And as it turns out, under New York state law, the apartment did belong to him. Since his father was never married and Francisco is an only child, all of his father's assets belong to him. Francisco was incredibly grateful to the City Bar Justice Center because without them, he may have never known that the apartment was rightfully his.
They realized that really that apartment is supposed to belong to me.
That was 15 years ago. Since then, things have changed for Francisco.
I'm retired. I was working for at least 30 years in this country. I'm retired. I'm going to tell you a secret. I have HIV positive.
Francisco found out in the last months that he's HIV positive. As of now, he's healthy. But he is at a higher risk, and especially after what happened with his father, he wants to make sure his family is set up in case anything happens to him.
Nice to meet you. My name is Michael Arline. I'm a volunteer here. I'm a partner at a law firm about a half a block away called Patterson Belknap. I've prepared a will, a healthcare proxy, and a durable power of attorney.
We were sitting in a big room with high ceilings that looked kind of like an excavated courtroom. And all along the perimeter, around a dozen lawyers had set up little makeshift offices where they sat explaining documents and asking people to sign things. Francisco's lawyer, Michael, was the only one there to prepare wills. So I asked him, what's the most basic thing people should know about estate planning?
The biggest piece of advice really is to do it. So many people don't put in place the basic documents. They either think they don't need them, they think they can't afford them, and as I told Francisco, when you get sick and you go to the hospital and you don't have a healthcare proxy or you become incapacitated and your family's trying to deal with a bank and you don't have a power of attorney, it's an absolute nightmare for them. So the responsible thing to do if you care about your family and is to have these documents.
I feel like one of the biggest issues I have is like not even knowing where to start.
Yes, there are definitely websites like LegalZoom where you can answer a couple questions and it will spit out a very simple will. For people like Francisco who have the simplest plan of all, like I leave everything to my wife. If my wife isn't around, I give everything to my children. That's good. I think if you get too much removed from that, like certainly if there are tax issues, which as I said is only for higher net worth people, but also if you have, for example, special needs children or you have young children that need, you know, their money in a trust structure, I think you can sort of quickly outgrow LegalZoom and it becomes important maybe to see a lawyer.
Michael says that a lot of what the City Bar Justice Center deals with is the mess that's created when someone doesn't leave the proper documents. Ironically, it's because Francisco had to deal with the fallout of his father not preparing his estate that made him realize he should get his worked out.
Right now, the value is very high, about $300,000, $350,000, who knows? I'm ambitious. I'm not really, so greedy. And all this is for my wife and my daughter, that the one was there for me, especially my wife, because we was there. We had 22 years together.
Francisco's entire face lights up when he talks about his wife.
We happy, sad, distressed, but she was all there for me. There for me. I'm very happy to she can have part of this all my, I didn't have much, but whatever I had in the van, this for her, she's deserved.
Now, Francisco, I have to ask you the magic will signing questions. And in order to make a valid will under New York law, you have to answer out loud these questions. You look nervous. Don't worry. These are very simple questions. Okay. Francisco, is this your will that you just signed?
Yes, it's my will.
Okay. And would you like Brianna and me to be the witnesses to your will?
Yes, I would like to.
And would you like us to sign the attached affidavit, which says that you're over 18 and you're competent to make a will?
I'm very appreciated for that. Okay.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's it. You passed.
So while estate planning may seem like a somber activity, Francisco was smiling from ear to ear as he signed his name.